Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Thursday, October 28th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 95 in the chapter Working with Others, and this paragraph we're reading paragraph 2, which begins with, If He Is Not Interested. Today's readers are Patty L. for the 12 Steps, Christina M. for the 12 Traditions, Leslie M., and Robin P. Barbara W. will greet newcomers at the end of the meeting, and then Shelley E. will close us out with some announcements. The reference number for the 10 a.m. meeting yesterday, for Wednesday, October 27th, is 17992. That's 17,992. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Thursday, October 28th, is 17,995. That's 17995. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer, our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Patty L. to please read the 12 steps.
Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Patty L. I'm a compulsive overeater from Boston, Massachusetts. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. 6, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, we humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, we made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, we continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. 11, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Patty L. And I will now ask Christina M. to please read the 12 traditions.
Thanks so much. Good morning. My name is Christina M., and I'm a compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Christina M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using the star 1 function on your telephone, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the chapter Working with Others on page 95, reading paragraph 2, which I will ask Leslie M. to please read for us.
Good morning. Thank you, Elaine, for your service. Appreciate that. I am Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. If he is not interested in your solution, if he expects you to act only as a banker for his financial difficulties or a nurse for his sprees, you may have to drop him until he changes his mind. This he may do after he gets hurt some more. Powerful little paragraph here. You know, it's giving me instructions on sponsorship and the things that I can and cannot do. And the thing that I've really learned for myself is that, getting recovered, working the steps, doing this work, it's an inside job. And I can't do it for anyone else, even though I would love to. You know, I'd love to say that I have the magic pill and, you know, here you go. And I wish I had a magic pill for myself, although at this point I don't, because my life is beyond my wildest dreams. You know, having done this work and continuing to do this work every day, you know, gives me a purpose and a reason for living that I never really thought that I would have. But it also says that, you know, I can't do something for somebody else that they need to do for themselves. Whether it's go through a bad time, I can perhaps offer some temporary support, but I have really learned in my sponsoring that, you know, especially in the beginning, that there needs to be a little detachment. I can't jump right in there with, you know, I'm going to take care of everything. I'm going to wait and I'm going to see if the person, do they call on time? You know, do they, you know, are they participating, you know, in working the steps and doing the things that I've asked them to do? And if that is happening, you know, that relationship builds over time. And, you know, with some of the people that I sponsored, I am friends, others not. You know, and I just have to let these relationships develop as they're supposed to, because once again, I'm not in charge. You know, my higher power is going to give me the right person. It's probably an experience that each of us need to learn, work from, whether we get through the steps or we don't get through the steps. And that's the thing that I have found. You know, but the other thing that I have found is that it also comes in handy for me is that, you know, and I heard this a long time ago, is that I have to say what I mean, but I can't say it mean. You know, so I need to make sure that, you know, entire abstinence is a part of this work. I know that without that entire abstinence, I was in OA before I got recovered. I was in OA 28 years, you know, in and out of abstinence, dabbling with this, dabbling with that. And did I work the steps? Yeah. Did I ever get this result? Absolutely not. So I know that for me, that's how it worked. And, you know, whatever that abstinence looks like, I'm not going to tell anyone else, you know, what their abstinence is. We'll discover that. But I know for me, once I found my entire abstinence and actually did this work, that, you know, being recovered is such a gift that I'm hoping that, you know, it's not something that I would choose to return. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much, Leslie M. Okay. Although we value your experience, strength, and hope, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of days and you'd like to comment on this paragraph, I encourage you to press star one to unmute. We'd love to hear from you. Don't all speak at once now.
Hi, this is Jill.
Jill? And what's the first initial of your last name, Jill?
B.
C? As in cat?
B as in boy.
B as in boy. Okay. Anybody else? Okay, Jill, why don't you go ahead and get us started? Let us know where you're calling from.
Hi,
I'm
Jill B.
Oops. Who was that that wants to share also?
I'm B in New York, but I didn't hear the paragraph identification. But I'll talk.
Okay, Andy. We're sharing on page 95, paragraph 2. It begins with if he is not interested. And so we'd love to hear from you after Jill B. So Jill, please go ahead and share. Let us know where you're calling from.
Thanks. This is Jill B., compulsive overeater from New Hampshire. First time at this meeting, so thank you for allowing me to join. I was actually thinking about this paragraph this morning while talking to a sponsee. And I think it's really right to know as a sponsor what you can really do and what you really can't do. And really there's so much you can do, but it doesn't save your sponsee from experiencing those just normal and sometimes tragic things that happen in life. We just can't rescue people. They have to go through, all of us have to go through what we are meant to go through. And sometimes that's just such a hard boundary and such a hard boundary to maintain and to know even where the boundary is. But I think that's one of the biggest privileges of this is being able to struggle with that. Because, you know, I have to believe that I am of some service. I have to know that I can't be of every and all service. And so it's actually a humbling experience, which is always good for me. It's always good for me to recognize where I need to be humble. So it's a great give and take and a great learning experience, all rolled up into one. And I think that when I first read this, as I'm rather new to program, about 15 months, when I first read this, it brought up all kinds of questions in my mind. But wait a minute, what if it's my brother? What if he's reaching out and he needs money? Or what if, you know, what if? And as I go through this program, I realize that's not a help. It's sometimes even the ones we love so much and we want to help so much, we're not helping when we give, and especially if we give without regard to that other person and what they actually need to recover and to stand on their own two feet. So great stuff in that paragraph, and thank you so much for letting me share this morning. Pass.
Thank you very much, Jill B., and welcome. We do encourage you and all newcomers to leave your number at the end of the meeting so this community can connect with you. Thanks for your share. So Ann B. is going to share next on page 95, paragraph 2, and then after that we'll take some more people who'd like to comment on this paragraph. Please share with us, Ann B.
Hi, this is Ann B. I'm in Tarrytown, New York. I'm a compulsive overeater. I don't like that word recovered, but I have been abstinent for 17 years and I've sponsored a lot of people. And I've heard this paragraph misinterpreted, in my opinion, misinterpreted so many times. I've heard so many people say, my sponsee chose to pick up and therefore I will fire her, and they will cite this paragraph. That's not how I understand this. I don't believe we choose to pick up. We're powerless. Saying that a compulsive overeater chose to pick up, in my mind, is a misunderstanding of step one. We don't choose to pick up. If somebody picks up, it's because they weren't working the steps. And so for me, this paragraph is not about firing somebody who picked up. It's about firing somebody, not necessarily letting somebody go who doesn't want to do the work. And there's a big difference between a person who picks up but still wants to do the work and a person who just wants to call me and ask me to be their free therapist. And I've had a number of sponsees who were like that. They would just want to call up and kvetch. And but they don't want to actually read the big book. They don't want to actually write an inventory. You know, they don't want to actually think about any of this stuff. And so and they don't want to go to meetings. And, you know, so that's it. It's not because a person picked up. It's because they don't want to do the work. And so, you know, and most people, if they don't want to do this work, they fire themselves, right? I keep saying, well, I don't say call me every day. I say call me when you've done the assignment. Call me if you have a question. And if they haven't done the assignment, they don't call me and they fire themselves. So that's usually what happens. So I will pass.
Thank you very much, Anne B. Thanks for your insights. Okay. Though we value your experience, we do ask you to limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you would like to comment on this paragraph, please press star 1 to unmute your phone if you haven't shared in the last couple of days.
Duke in Rhode Island.
Who was that
Carol
again?
Q.
Duke in Rhode Island.
Okay, Duke in Rhode Island and Carol Q. Anybody
Thank
else?
You. Michelle J., I hope I haven't shared in the last 3 days, but forgive me if I have.
Okay, Michelle J., we'll forgive you if you have. Anybody else want to get in this lineup? Star 1 to unmute. Okay, so we have Duke from Rhode Island, Carol Q., and Michelle J. And so, Duke, please share with us, and can you please give us the first initial of your last name?
Yeah, Duke R. from Rhode Island.
Thank you.
Yeah, grateful to be here this morning. Thank you for your service. This particular paragraph reminds me, you know, that there's an entire chapter here dedicated to working with others. The first part is having had the spiritual experience, which is part of step 12, and then the second is, you know, practicing these principles in all my affairs as well. And by carrying this message, I'm just a guide as a sponsor, and I guide somebody through the steps. I don't direct them in their marital affairs, their business affairs. I don't lend money. I know, you know, in the literature, it says in the past that sometimes, you know, they put people up in their home. And that was before treatment facilities and things were had come about. But I'm really here basically just to be a guide. And, you know, I work with somebody, I give them their reading assignment, you know, out of the big book. And, you know, obviously a man's brain or a woman's brain needs to be clear before this can be of maximum benefit. And that's pretty much it. I give the instructions. I give, you know, the guidance on how to do the work that I was instructed on how to do. I follow the same format. It's already written in black and white. And I just basically stick to the script. I was told that smarter than people than me wrote this book, and that's what I should do. So grateful to be here. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Duke in Rhode Island. Appreciate your share. Carol Q., you're up next, followed by Michelle J.
Hi, Carol Q. from Ontario, Canada. I'm very grateful to be here. This paragraph really makes me think about myself. It took me many, many years to come to the program. I had been in and out many times, and as soon as I would have free from my compulsive eating, I would leave again. But it brought me to a place where I really had nothing else to go to. And I went to a meeting, a speaker meeting, and heard someone talk about a vision for you. They talked about being recovered, and they talked about a higher power and how we could not recover without our higher power's help. And that's where I'm at today. I'm so grateful for this program, for the 12 steps and traditions. And I'm ready to sponsor someone else. I have a wonderful sponsor, and it's been a wonderful journey. Thank you so much for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Carol Q. I encourage you to leave your number at the end of the meeting when available sponsors are offered to get that opportunity. So Michelle J. will be our next share, and then after Michelle J. shares, we'll open the floor again for additional shares on page 95, paragraph 2, which begins with, if he is not interested. Please share with us, Michelle J.
Thank you so much. Thank you for all of you on the line, because you are all part of this together. We are hand in hand. Cool little paragraph here, says a whole lot. You may have to drop him, and he may have to come back after some hurt, things like this. Sometimes I read these words and I miss a few things, but today that's what I'm hearing strongly, because as a sponsor, as a sponsee, using step 1, 2, and 3 in all of my affairs, if I'm working with anybody, I have to look at them with a fresh slate. I'm powerless. Number one, I am powerless. I've got no idea who they are, what they're going through, what they've picked up, if they're not, if they're being honest, where they are, if they want to dump their stuff on me. I don't know. But because I've had a spiritual awakening in this program, number two tells me there is somebody out there who knows this person, knows what they need. Perhaps it might be pain. Perhaps I might need to let that person go. But what do? I go to step 3 and I offer this person. I sacrifice myself and go, I can't fix this person. It has been a beautiful awakening in this program to be able to view all relationships, or at least try to, by step 1, 2, and 3, and relying on my higher power, the spirit of the universe, the creator of all things, and say, you get it. You know the hearts of men and women. Who am I to judge? I cannot, but I might have to let them go if that power greater than myself lets me know. Then I know. And what might happen? They have to hit the rock bottom again. Ouch. Do I want that? I didn't used to, but now I get it. Why? Because I've hit rock bottoms, and I know that that's where I have to be sometimes for my higher power, God, to be able to work in me and move in me. So everybody's a blank slate today. If I'm sponsoring or it's just a person next door, I don't care. I'm going to go in with no expectations and no prejudices and no concepts that I've gotten because my last person did this, or the person I called, or they called me. Maybe they're going through something. This is not, every person is so different. Just like a snowflake or a fingerprint, they're all so different. And so I need to hand them over to God, the higher power, and allow him to help me to know, do I drop them? Do they need more pain? Or do they just need some tender love and care? And these steps, this is what this book does. You can use the book just like the previous speaker said. That's what it is. Just walk them through it. God will get in there and God will do the work for you. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful and blessed day.
Thank you very much, Michelle J. And though we value everyone's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last 2 days, we ask you to hold back. But we would love to hear from you. If you haven't, then you've got some thoughts on page 95, paragraph 2. Please press star 1 to unmute. we'd love to hear from you.
Jody H.
Jody H.
Marcella H.
Marcella H. Anyone else? Okay. Jody H., please share with us, and you'll be followed by Marcella H.
Yes, my name is Jody H. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater from the state of Maine. Can you hear me okay?
You sound great.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, something came to mind while the shares were being shared. excuse me. I realized that if my boundaries as a sponsor, and I like to call myself a fellow traveler instead, a guide, because it says in the big book, anyway, what my point is, when I keep my boundaries and I know my own boundaries and my own abstinence as a sponsor, if I know about myself well enough and my own work in the steps, it seems to me that I get fired or I'm refusing to go beyond these boundaries, whichever is comfortable for me. And I don't have to even suggest to the sponsee or fellow traveler that that maybe they should get a different sponsor, or maybe they just need to experiment some more with some food, or I don't need to even suggest those things. They'll say, I don't think this is working, and I will agree with them and say, I think you're right. But when you're ready, if you need a sponsor, here I am. And that seems in my minimal experience, I've only been sponsoring about a year, and I've had several sponsees, and it seems to work the best for me. And it does say in how it worked that we realized another human being, in other words, cannot help us to get sober. We can only do what the program allows us to do, because it's what works. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Jody H. And Marcella H., please share with us.
Hi, this is Marcella. I'm from Utah. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. This paragraph is super interesting. I know that it is specifically talking about your sponsors in this context, but for me this morning, it is really talking to me about many relationships in my life, specifically right now in my marriage, where, you know, I'm trying to fix lots of things and having to maybe make some realizations that my spouse doesn't want my solution and I might be hindering things by continuing to try to push my solution. I also have teenagers that I really, really would love if they were interested in my solution. And sometimes I keep pushing and pushing and pushing and realizing that sometimes me just being the bank, as it says here, and me being the nurse, sometimes it is not helpful. As much as we don't want our children or our loved ones to feel pain, sometimes that is the thing that they actually need to be able to learn and grow. And it's just really hard to know when to step back, but I'm really grateful for this program that can give me the peace and serenity even when things are hard, and the understanding of that sometimes it does take courage to change the things we can. And a lot of times, or all the time, the things that we can change are not what other people choose to do. It's how we choose to show up. And I'm just grateful for program. Thanks for letting me share. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Marcella H. Okay, we have time for a few more shares. Who'd like to comment on this? Page 95, paragraph 2.
Laura W.
Laura W.
Diane N.
Diane N.
Robin L.
Robin L. Anyone else?
Janice K.
Janice K. Okay, great. I've got Laura W., Diane L., Diane N., Robin L., and Janice H., I believe. Okay, so please share with us, Laura W., and you'll be followed by Diane N.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. Yeah, if he's not interested in your solution, that was hard in the beginning for me. I've been recovered for 17 years, been in program for over 23. So if you do the math, you'll notice that the first few years, I was thinking I was abstinent, recovered, or whatnot, and I wanted to sponsor people, and I tried to sponsor people, and it was a disaster. If he's seriously interested and he wants to see you, then yeah, go for it. But I've found that, like we shared before, so many people say they want to sponsor, but very few people want to be sponsored. And for me, that, you know, they're not willing to do the work. And I was one of them in the beginning. You know, I wanted to commit my food to somebody and then do what I, you know, do whatever I wanted to do the rest of the day. And that's not what this program is about. For me, a food plan is a necessity for me, but that's not what this program is about. This program is about establishing a relationship with a higher power. You know, this chapter will go on later to tell us, you know, it's a waste of time for us to chase people who don't want to work with us or don't want to do the work. And sometimes it's for their benefit to leave them alone. And maybe they'll realize, I know I did, I realized that I needed more than just somebody to take my food. So this is a great paragraph. I need to back off when that's, you know, it's hard for me. I'm not somebody who likes to back off. I like to make sure people are happy and make sure they're comfortable and make sure I'm doing everything right. And this chapter is a great reminder that it's not my job to fix anybody. It's not my job to, all I can share is my experience, strength, and hope. I can't make them understand and I can't make them get it. And that's okay. You know, selfishly, I'm staying abstinent in the recovery and that's my job. You know, my job is to carry the message and stay recovered. So thank you for letting me share. Have a great day.
Thank you, Laura W. Diane N., you're up next, followed by Robin L.
Hi, thank you. My name is Diane N. I'm from Metro Atlanta, Georgia. I'm a recovered, not cured, compulsive overeater, and so grateful for this topic and the opportunity to share. This first little part so reminded me, if he is not interested in your solution. I've been in the rooms for so many years, a long, long time. However, I'm a chronic relapser, so my recovery date is from January 2020. Okay. But over the years, I have had so many sponsors. You know, I'd meet them one night or one day or whatever, and they'll tell me to call them, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm so willing to work this program. But a lot of them didn't work out, and the people didn't, you know, they didn't fire me, probably because I never called them. I would just keep getting all these sponsors and wouldn't call them. But that's what this part reminds me of, and even with when I'm sponsoring today, I had some problems once, and I remember talking with my sponsor about it. And she said, if you're working with someone and they don't want to, you know, like work with you, then that means they don't want a sponsor. They just want to sponsor themselves. So I'm learning humility. you know, now when I'm working with people, I'm learning to just follow the directions in the book, and I'm learning that I do have to sponsor. And there was one other thing that this last sentence that in this book that really resonated with me, and it reminded me of this he may do after he gets hurt some more. And I think that's what I had to do. I had to keep, you know, having all these relapses until I was willing to listen and to follow the directions. And once I did that, then I was able to get the recovery that I had been wanting, all saying that I wanted all along, but wasn't following the direction. And I've never had to fire sponsoree either. They usually just stop calling me, even if they are calling. Once they get into trouble or something, sometimes they stop calling. And I know that I'm just thinking about what I used to hear people say years ago, that I know I have, and even now I know I have lots of relapses in me, but I don't know if I have another recovery. And that was my fear for years. You know, even when I've had some abstinence, I was like, oh my God, I don't know. I want to hold on to it. And I think that's what I was trying to do. I was still trying to work it my way. But today I know when I'm working with others, when I'm working my program, my job is to follow the directions, give them, put it out there, let them know now, you know, that the answers are here and in the book. And when they're ready, when they receive that gift of desperation, then they'll follow directions, or follow the directions in the big book, not my directions, but the directions in the big book, because that's where the answers are. Thank you guys for letting me share.
Okay. Perfect timing. Thank you very much, Diane. And okay, Robin L., you are up next, followed by Janice H.
Good morning. My name is Robin L., and I'm from Connecticut. And I like that first line where it says, if you're not interested in your solution, there are other solutions, but they don't work for, you know, for me the way this big book works for me. But I found people want a diet. They're looking for another diet solution rather than a spiritual solution. And I know when I first came in, I was looking for that too. I didn't know that I was spiritually bankrupt. And I had other problems, but I didn't have the solution that's in the big book. And I like where it talks about you may have to drop him until he changes his mind. And that leaves the door open for the possibility that the person may at some point want this solution. And so if I close the door and, you know, burn the bridges, then the person doesn't have the opportunity or the wherewithal to come back and want to work this program. I also find that I can't want recovery for the person more than they want it for themselves. And sometimes I think I fall into that trap that, you know, I really want people to succeed. And if they're not willing to do the work, then they need to get hurt some more. And that's hard for me. But I'm learning that there is a time to let go of people so they can grow. Not just if they've relapsed or not been working the program, but even when they've recovered, sometimes that relationship needs to end or to change. But anyway, the solution's in the big book, and I found that out, and it works for me. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Robin L. Janice H. is up next, and I think we will have time for a couple more shares after that, and we're commenting on page 95, paragraph 2. Please share with us, Janice H.
Actually, it's Janice K. in Central Oregon.
But thank you for that correction. Okay. That's important. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, boy. If you look at the surface of this, there's not a lot there except... I have a local meeting that's a big book meeting, and we had a newcomer present when we read this, and she found it rather off-putting to feel that she was not cherished But the fact is that newcomers have certain rights. They have the right to be silent if they don't want to share, and they have the right to leave if they want. And I don't have the right to throw myself after them screaming, wait, wait, I haven't told you about X, Y, or Z yet. You just get to leave, and I get to wish you a loving and tender farewell. Oh, my solution. Oh, man. 2 years ago, when I came into Visions, we had members who were absolute Gibraltars. I looked at them and I saw Gibraltar. The storms would come, the storms would go. They were solid and steady, and they held firm. And then they began to disappear from meetings, and we stopped hearing from them. And when they stopped living in 10, 11, and 12, Gibraltar crumbled. All I have, and it really burned home to me, that all I have is a daily reprieve based on the maintenance of spiritual condition. And, well, you know, that's up to every individual to decide. I remember someone asked me to tell in a meeting what I did to perform steps 10, 11, and 12. So I asked them if anyone had trained for a marathon, and if they had, how many hours per day they spent training. And the answer was anywhere from 30 minutes to 3 hours. So spiritual maintenance is a daily reprieve, and you do what you have to do. I agree that people do not choose to pick up. People choose to stop working the steps. And picking up the food is inevitable after that. For me, it is inevitable. If I don't work the steps, I don't have a shot. Recovery is not my job. Oh boy, do I agree with that. Recovery is God's job. I don't have food breaks. I don't have parts to make food breaks. I have to rely on the hand of God to slow me down. My job is to stay connected to my higher power. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you very much, Janice Kay. We do have time for two more shares. On page 95, paragraph 2, who'd like to comment?
Ann M. Washington.
Ann M. in Washington. And one more. Please share with us, Ann M.
Thank you. I'm grateful, recovering compulsive eater. There's two points I'd like to make. And one is that I like to hear, and I don't often hear in meetings, about this disease being a fatal malady. The Big Book and the 12 and 12 use the word fatal illness, fatal obsession, fatal progression, you know, fatal encounter. And this is spiritually, for me, fatal. I realized that years ago when I came in. And I so need to know that emphasis. And then the other point is that people have heard this, but when the pain of change is less than the pain of staying the same, or reverse that, when the pain of staying the same is more than the pain of change, then I will do that. And with regards to sponsoring, that's what I have to recognize. Apparently people who I've sponsored aren't in enough pain to want to do this work, which is the solution is right here. But it's fatal if I don't, and I know that for myself. So that's it. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Anna. And we still have time for one more share. Anybody would like to share their experience, strength, and hope? Star 1 to unmute.
This is Morgan in Oregon. I'd like to share.
Hi, Morgan in Oregon. Please go ahead and share.
Thank you, everybody, for being here. And I am so glad I got on the call this morning because this is exactly what I needed to read regarding a friend of mine. It's a little difficult with friends because I can't really drop until he changes his mind. But what I could do is, like other sharers have mentioned, is to just back off and let him or her decide, you know, that this solution has worked for me and that I'm recovered. And, you know, I'm not totally recovered. I mean, it is one day at a time. But that I look like I have had a solution because I do have a good weight. I don't stress out about food or I just went to a party the other day and, you know, it was at a time that I don't eat. There was another compulsive overeater across the table from me who was not eating either. It was a food that I can eat, but it was not at a time that I eat. It was fine. It was interesting that God did put somebody right near me. A few people commented, you know, that I wasn't eating anything, but I just did say the truth that I have low blood sugar and I eat at certain times. So anyway, I won't go on and on, but I've been in this program for many years and I have had relapses and have had to have new sponsors and whatever. But by the grace of God right now, I have some recovery in this program. And thank you, everybody, for being here. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much for sharing, Morgan. And thank you, everybody, who shared. We're now going to transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Robin P. please read A Vision for You?
Thanks so much, Elaine, for your service. Hi, it's Robin P., very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then, amen.